lost here. I'm not going back the same way I came. Thank you, Jesus. Same way I came. Lift your voice and sing. There is something in the atmosphere. I'm not going back the same way I came. Is that your prayer this morning? The same way I came. Jesus is here. His power is here. The Holy Ghost is here. I'm not going back the same way I came. Who is here? Jesus is here. His power is here. The Holy Ghost is here. I'm not going back. Same way I came. Cause there is something in the atmosphere. I'm not going back the same way I came. I don't know about you, but that's my song this morning. The same way I came. There is power in the atmosphere.
There is power in the atmosphere.
I'm not going back.
I'm not going back the same.
Oh, oh. The same way I came. The same way I came. Yeah.
The same way I came.
There's anointing. There's anointing in the atmosphere. I'm not going back the same way I came. Oh, yeah.
Same way I came.
There is power in the atmosphere.
Power in the atmosphere.
I'm not going back the same
I'm
way.
Not going back the same.
The same way I came.
Same way I
came. I don't know about you, but that's my song this morning.
Same way I came.
Jesus is here, His power is here, the Holy Ghost is here. I'm not going back the same. The same way I came. Jesus is here, His power is here, the Holy Ghost is here. I'm not going back the same. The same way I came. Help me tell your neighbor, say neighbor, say neighbor. There is power in this atmosphere. Hey, I'm not going back the same. The same way I came. Oh yeah.
The same way I came.
Help me tell somebody around you. Say I'm not going back. I'm not going back the same. The same way I came. The same way I came. One more. The same way I came. I'm not going back the same way.
I'm not going back the same. Same way I came.
Same way I came, yeah.
Same way.
One more time. The same way I came. There is something in atmosphere. I'm not going back the same way I came. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Same way I came.
The power of the Holy Ghost is here. And I'm not going back.
I'm not going back the same.
Oh, the same way I came. Thank you, Jesus.
Same way I came.
Hallelujah. Can you wave your hands one more time to Jesus? Can you wave your hands one more time to Jesus? Oh, what glory. What anointing in this place this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can you have your seats in God's presence? Help me welcome a neighbor close to you. And tell them, neighbor, you're welcome to church. Say, neighbor, this is church. And I'm glad to be the one welcoming you. Come and say it again to your neighbor. Say, this is church. And I'm glad to be the one welcoming you. Hallelujah. Say, neighbor, don't worry, you won't feel formed to see me. You know, when we were on campus, we used to have these guys come around to bamboozle us with so much big grammar. They call them motivational speakers. And they'll tell you, tell your neighbor, value me now. Because in 10 years time, you'll be feeling formed to see me. Some of them are still feeling formed to see people. Don't let motivational speakers destroy your career. Take what they have to say that applies to you and leave the rest in the dustbin. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad to be in church this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in church this morning. Say it like I'm saying it. Don't say it like a Nigerian. Say, I'm glad to be in church this morning. Hallelujah. Please don't bite your tongue while at it. Amen. Praise God. I've been talking about the rest of God this month. And I can't seem to get to the end of it. Praise God. As a matter of fact, you can't exhaust that teaching in a month. Praise God. It will take years of teaching. You know what I mean? Years. Of what? So if you don't have the understanding, the rest of God, the three-part series I taught, please do well to get it from the media. The three-part series on understanding the rest of God. You need to hear the series completely so you'll get the gist. This morning I'll be talking to us about the two pillars of God's rest. I was talking about four, but I discovered that Sunday service, before you get to say I'm preaching long sermon, so I'll just two pillars of God's rest. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church? Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that light and illumination flow from your word. We ask that our hearts are open to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Say this morning, by the Spirit of God, my heart is open to receive God's word. I allow myself to be conditioned by the word I hear from the scripture. I acknowledge the Bible as containing the words of God that can change my life, that can give me a better future. So today I align with the light from God's word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So two pillars of the rest of God. When we talk about pillars, we're talking about something rest on. Okay? If you don't mind my English. So when you call something a pillar, you know, a house is built and you see halls, you have pillars in the center. Even though Bishop Oyedepo broke out from that system many years ago and many have copied. Alright? Building an auditorium that had no pillar in the center. So what they did was to use reinforced concrete to build the wall, so it could carry the weight of the building. But a pillar actually is something that you can lean on, right? Something another object leans on. That's what a pillar is. So when we talk about two pillars of God's rest, we're talking about two things that the rest of God leans on, that when we understand and appropriate this thing, we will be able to, on a consistent basis, enjoy the rest of God. How many of us would like to enjoy the rest of God? Praise God. Praise God. And I did say to you when I began this series that the rest of God is where God stands and seeing everything he has done as good. And for the believer, you must agree that God wants to bring you
into a place of rest. Hello? God wants to do what? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what did he say? I will give you rest. So, there's no doubt about the fact that God wants to give you rest. It is the intention of God to bring you to a state of rest. And I mean that in your marital life, a place of rest. In your finances, a place of rest. In your spirituals, a place of rest. God is concerned about the entirety of the human life. God is not more concerned about your prayer life than he is about your finances. Ta-da. It's an error to think that. Because sometimes your finances can affect your prayer life. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Am I still in church? So God is not more interested in one area of your life than he is in another one. God is as interested in your marriage working as he is in your prayer life working. Otherwise, we will become so-called spiritual giants and dwarfs when it comes to the things that matter on the earth. It is not the intention of God for it to be so. So God wants to give you rest in every area of your life. See, God wants to give me rest in every area of my life. See, God is as much concerned about my finances, my marriage, my health, as he is about my spiritual life. Say, God is concerned about me. Say, I am big enough to consume his thoughts all day long. Do you think God has your time? God has your time. Have you heard that kind of sound before? Do you think God has more time for important things? He thinks about you. God has your time. He said he has engraved you on the palm of his hands. He calls us the apple of his eyes. That means he can't blink without you. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Hello? Can you come back to church? Do you understand what I'm saying here? God, I'm telling you that God is interested in every single detail about your life. Do you know that the hair on your head is counted? Eh? No, that sounds cool. Like the hair on your head is counted. Now, if you walk in a barber's shop, that might seem like, are you kidding me? Praise God. Alright? Like, how do you count the hair on people's head? Not only is the hair on your head counted, they are numbered. Ah, you didn't get what I'm saying. They have number. While you were brushing your hair, and hair number 75 fell, God knows. That's how much God is interested in your life. So you cannot compartmentalize the way you approach God. You can't. It will be at your own detriment to do so. The first pillar I'll talk about this morning is God's authority. God's authority. I'm talking about the pillars of rest. One is God's authority. In Luke 10:19, we see Jesus giving the disciples a promise. He said, "Behold, I give you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The word power is interpreted exousia, meaning authority, the legal right to administer ability. The word power talks about ability. Exousia, being authority, is a legality. It gives a legal backing for you to exercise that power. So God does not only have authority, he has given you the same authority. You know, in the police, the authority of the IG is higher than the authority of the inspector. You know that, right? Huh? So when the inspector is acting, he's not acting just on his own authority. He's acting on the authority of the overall boss in the police force. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? An authority backs up his actions, gives a legality to his actions. Because you have to understand authority first from a legal point of view. Otherwise, the devil will mess your life up and you will not have a voice to speak down on him. What happened in the Garden of Eden is that the devil stole the authority that Adam had over the earth system and began to use that authority against man. So in the kingdom of God, authority is a very important subject matter. Not only is it important, it is a legal entity in itself. How many of us will have documents to a house and have somebody steal it from us? I mean, you are having a tussle over a property and you have documents, and the person doesn't have documents, says it's my house, and you say, okay, don't worry, just take it. Will you? Please talk to me. Don't form church here. Will you? Come on, talk to me. Will you? Why won't you? Because you have a document authorizing your ownership of that property. You can go to any court, and when the court understands that the original documents of the property are in your name, what happens to that case? That case becomes dead on arrival. What I'm saying in essence is that authority for the believer is a legal issue. So when Christ said, "Behold, I give you authority," he legally released authority into your hands to deal with anything that does not allow you to conform to his will. How did Jesus express authority? Matthew 7:29. Bible says that Jesus taught as one having authority and not as the Pharisees. He taught as one who had a legal right to say what he was saying. He said, "I tell you of earthly things and you can't believe them." He said, "What if I tell you of heavenly things?" He said, "The one who has been with the Father is the one telling you these things." That was authority. So Jesus did not speak as one who has read the Bible alone. He spoke as one who understood that he was vested with authority. The Pharisees who quote the law, Jesus was the breath of the law. Alright, did you hear what I'm saying here? They will quote scriptures, but they had no breath of scriptures. It is that breath of scriptures that accentuates your authority, that amplifies your authority. Help me with that. It is the breath of scriptures. So he says here, open your Bibles to Matthew 7:29. Are you with me? Are you with me? Is my grammar too high? Are you with me? Alright. Matthew 7 from verse 28. He says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended the sayings, the people were astonished at the doctrine." The word doctrine there means teaching. "For he taught them as one having what? And not as the..." So he taught the scriptures as one having authority. Open your Bibles to Matthew 21 verse 23. Matthew 21 verse 23. "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the temple came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Did you see that? So, Jesus, with all his anointing, his authority was challenged. Why was his authority challenged in the temple? Because there were people who felt it was their right to teach in the temple. But the Pharisees, the scribes, Jesus did not attend any school of rabbis. So it was, in a way, against the order of the day to go and teach in the temple. So they asked him, "By what authority are you doing what you are doing? Who gave you? Who has who used to watch Chinese films? I watched one short video one day. How a guy went to teach somebody else kung fu. So when he was teaching the guy, the boy was teaching, went to go, you know that normal Chinese story. The master will teach the students. The student will go and find trouble. Then when he come back, the master will not say, you say, master, master, the Chan Chan boys are coming. How many are they? He say, 100, master. Go inside. He will fight and finish them. So when the master finished with those guys, the master of those guys came and challenged this master. By what authority do you have to teach Kung Fu? He brought him to a court, a martial arts court, to challenge him for teaching Kung Fu without what? Authority. So you see that authority is a legal matter. It is different from power. So the devil has power, but has no authority. Ah, devil, he gave power. Yes, it's true. But what you have is not just power. What is power? Power is an ability to do something. So can a devil do evil? Can he? So he can. He has power. But does he have authority over your life? You see, that's a different question to answer altogether. So when you exalt demons and the devil, understand that you are submitting yourself to an authority that ought to submit to you. So this will solve the question of binding and casting demons. The believer binds as demons with the authority given to him over Satan. The devil has the power to do certain things. Anybody who doesn't believe that is not on the earth. But does he have the authority? What he has is deception. What you have is authority. Understand these things. So Jesus was challenged. And he said, I will not answer you. He gave them a question. They could not answer me, so I will not answer you. He said, John the Baptist that you are doing to go and meet, what authority was he preaching? And they reasoned within themselves. If we say he's of God, he will fault us. If we say he's not, people are going to attack us. So he said, we will not tell you anything. He said, me, so I will not tell you anything. That you are a Christian doesn't mean you must answer every foolish question. So there's no point. You can see, as a believer, you're not proving any points to anybody. Anybody there, you say, you know those people that say, you say, listen, before you look at me and say, and you say, do you have eternal life? Some of us, it's unbelievers that make us doubt our Christianity. Unbelievers will come and tell you, and you say you're a Christian. You say,
God, I've disgraced you.
A person who does not have eternal life is the one questioning your believer's authority. That's why it is easy for the devil to do the same thing. If men can do it and get away with it, the devil will do the same. What the devil seeks to always question from Genesis 3 is the authority that God has given to man. Once you understand this, you will know how to checkmate him. There's an authority in the word of God. The same authority becomes our inheritance the day we come into Christ. So God's word is also a symbol of his authority. That means when God, how do you know a man of authority? Can you tell me? In Luke 7, a centurion servant was sick and he came to call Jesus. Come and pray before he dies. While he was yet moving, he said, stop, sir. I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. He said, speak the word. But before he said so, what did he say to Jesus? He said, I am a man under authority. And I have men under my authority. I say, not the word say, I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to one, come, and he comes. Only speak thy word. What was the centurion talking about there? He was talking about that authority
is embedded in words. Authority is exercised in words. When a policeman says, stop there, what are you obeying? Huh? Hello? What are you obeying? How did he communicate his authority to you? He said, I say to one. So the authority of Jesus is communicated in the words that have been written about him. Not just about him, the words that he has written to us. The words he has written for us. The authority of Jesus is in his word. When the word of God gains entrance into our hearts, we become one with that same authority. There's a place where you mentally assent to God's word. How many of us believe there is God? Let me see your hand up. At least if you don't believe anything, you believe that there is God, right? Huh? Even if you didn't believe, when my patient said it, you believe. There is God, though. There is God, though. Even at that day, you know there is God. When your former president said there is God, though, even if you don't believe before, that day you believe. That what? So, there is mentally assenting or agreeing about the existence of God. That is a mental assent. That word must gain entrance into your spirit for you to walk in the same authority. That word, the word of scriptures, must have entrance into your heart. When that word locks up with your heart, it will change the way you speak. You will now begin to speak as one having what? Authority. So the Pharisees and the scribes knew the law, could quote the law. The law to them was a pride, was a degree. Paul said, as touching the Pharisees, I am a what? I am a dog. As touching the law, I am a Pharisee. Paul in his day was a PhD holder in theology. He studied under Gamaliel. Huh? He had a supervisor called what? Gamaliel. So as touching the law, the Pharisees, they were doctorate degree holders. They knew this law. They were doctors of the letters. But Paul confused them one day. When one of them, a doctor of letters, came and told them that the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Paul had moved from cramming the law, from being able to quote offhand, to being able to operate the same power the same word of God carries. The authority in God's word is not as you see in letters. Is as is revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. When you read the word of God, you must seek revelation. It is by revelation that you can exercise authority. What is God's word about your health? Has it locked up with your spirit? God's word about your finances, has it dawned on your spirit? The authority you experience in that area of your life is dependent on your revelation. And these things are naturally applicable. It's not so far-fetched to understand. Who has ever been a caretaker of a house here? Or you know a caretaker? Praise God. Many would have heard that caretakers are more stubborn than landlord. Huh? Who agrees with me? Why do you think so? Why? The landlord called him one day and said, you see that my house there? You are in charge. Bring in tenants. Collect your 10% and give me my money. Anybody that give you trouble, send them out. You see, that simple conversation is the reason for that stubbornness. He didn't write it down. No. He just told him, do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm telling you how authority is conferred and how it is received. The guy walks away before he came to the landlord. Come, AY. This is the to-be caretaker. I call him. Before he meets me, he's just a brother walking on the streets or doing something else as a job. Then I call him and say, Brother Ayo, from today, I make you the caretaker of this house. You see, all these tenants are there. Any day they give you trouble, you can remove tenants and put a new one there. I give you that power. As he turns back, who want to be tenants? Okay, let Enoch come. Okay, no, let me not scratch the chair. Freedom, come. This is Freedom now, cooling off. It is possible that Freedom has more money. Stand at the door, at the window. It is possible that Freedom has more money than this guy. Before this guy came to me. As he turns back and goes to Freedom, he has become a different man. What made him a different man? The authority I conferred on him. So when Jesus said, Behold, I give you power. Hi. To trample upon serpents and scorpions. The moment you receive that word into your spirit and own it, you leave that place becoming a different man. So this guy came to me as a brother doing something else, but goes back as a caretaker. He looks at this man and said, Have you paid your house rent? He said, what do you mean by that? Do you know how many cars I have? Have you paid your house rent? While the guy is trying to make trouble, he goes and puts. This guy may have more money than him. But if this guy will have a house to stay, it's dependent on this caretaker. Stop envying unbelievers who have money more than you. What you have is more than that. It can produce it. If this guy takes his job seriously, he can build a house. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say to you? That the authority you have in Christ is more than the intimidation of the devil. You have to understand what I'm saying here. It doesn't matter who this person is. As long as this is the person who has the authority, it becomes even a bigger problem when this guy has fallen in love with the house. His existence in that building will depend on what this person tells the landlord. This, no matter what this guy tells the landlord will still make recourse to this guy. He's the one giving him alerts. As long as your life to God is giving him glory, when God looks at you and is concerned about you, no matter what the devil tries to do, I'm not saying him is devil though. No matter what he tries to do, he cannot accuse you before God. God will not jump you to agree with what he's saying. Because God is the landlord. He has given you authority. The day you accept that authority, you can challenge anybody under your sphere of influence. Please sit down, thank you. Every authority given to you covers a sphere of influence. Every authority given to you, authority is not merely given, it is given over a sphere of influence. So he cannot say because he's caretaker of Alhaji Dumebi's house, he now goes to Dr. Adeshola and say, all of you, if you don't pay rent, I'll sack you. He's a caretaker. But is he the caretaker of that house? So his authority has a sphere of influence. So when Jesus said in Luke 10:19, Jesus did not only give authority, he told us the demarcation of our influence. Kai, did you hear what I'm saying? No. Hey, don't just go and cast that devil if you come and fight you back. In the authority we have been told how much, how far it covers. He said, Behold, I give you authority over, talk about region or space. Kai, are you hearing what I'm saying? Over all, some, the ones in Nigeria, no, the ones in America, Over what? All the power. That word power talks about the sphere of influence of the enemy. Over all the crafts of the devil. The authority you have, it is not limited. So you don't have authority over sickness and have a less authority over sin. So you don't have more authority over your finance than you have over your health. The authority is that whatever the devil touches, you have the authority to shift him from there. If you are sleeping, praise the Lord. Whatever the devil seeks to touch around your life, you have the authority to shift him from there. He said, submit yourselves unto the Lord. Resist the devil. And he will do what? Come on, talk to me. Resist the devil and he will do what? Somebody now says, what if I committed sin against God? Will I still be able to resist the devil? I will ask you a question. What if you're offending your father? Will you still be able to send your houseboy on errand? Does the houseboy determine what happened between you and your father? Let's say your father has many servants and you offended him. And then because you offended him, your houseboy now says, you know, seeing your head. Houseboy that used to call on. Because your father said, I'm going to punish you. The houseboy now comes and says, you are very stupid. And slaps you. Because he heard your father saying that he will punish you. Huh? Hello? I'm giving you real life situations now. Can that happen naturally? That because he heard your father scolding you, it will not come. Siam. What will you do? No, even if your father is you as a person, what will you do? Will you say, I don't blame you because my father wants to punish me? Is that what you're going to say? What will you say? Why would that happen? Your authority with your father is not temporal. It is not a temporal contract. It is forever. That servant is transitory. He came to pass. Did you hear what I'm saying here? He cannot determine the extent of your influence in your father's house. Are you hearing me? Hey, but sir, should we now continue sinning? No, that's what I'm saying. I am telling you that my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. He said, but if any man sin, remember that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That is the symbol of your authority. Your authority is not hinged on what the devil thinks about you. Your authority is hinged on what God has said to you. Yeah, I won't tell you this story that came to my mind. Paul said, we speak mature things among the mature. But what I'm saying is this. That there is nothing. The day you receive wholeheartedly your authority in Christ, you can deal with the devil as you want. You can command circumstances that the devil is trying to thwart against you to align with God's counsel for your life. That's what I'm saying. The same way the servant has no say in what happens between you and your father, the devil does not determine how potent your authority is. What if you are sleeping and you see yourself having sex in the dream? Wake up and pray. What if I'm sleeping? Somebody was pursuing me. I now fell down in the dream. Question, did you wake up? Question, did you wake up? What do you do when you wake up? Some will tell you, you have to dream that dream again. So that you can pursue the enemy back in the dream. Sister, did you wake up? when you wake up, see,
Kai.
If all you say is, I take authority, live match and replay match, which one is more real? That dream is video. When you wake up, it's live. Facebook live. Your authority is not determined by demonic activities. Your authority is determined by what God has said belongs to you. The same way you will not doubt, if I wrote a check in your name and put 1 million naira there, you will go to the bank. I can't give you say 1 million. Amen. Praise God. I'm not saying I have so much money. But what I'm saying here, don't say, yeah, this check now scam. You go. If you don't cash the 1 million, come back and tell me that it's a scam. What I'm saying is that if I write you a check and I put your name on that check becomes your symbol of authority. When you get to the bank and the teller looks at your size, maybe look at someone like Ayo now, say, come to collect 10 million. Say, you reverse size you up. Who has come at that position before? There was some money you went to withdraw in the bank and they have to check your size. And say, not that one that you have 5K in your account balance, you're shouting. The whole bank will not hear anything. You put the name in here. I will take away my account.
Oh boy.
When I walk in the bank, this one put a, when the salary enters, they cash the salary, they just cash it down. Then 1-2 balance. ATM did not give them problem. I will withdraw my salary from this bank. The guy was shouting. I got calm down. Calm down like this, calm down. The man was shouting. We now say, okay, let's go and check the account. We're begging him that he should not carry his account away. Let's go and check the account balance. 1,000. If not for my bank cash training, I went to say, okay, please go. Alright? That's not what I'm saying. So, when I give you that check, it doesn't matter what the branch manager says. The check is in your name. One. Two. The value of that money is in that person's account. What should he do? Highest thing, Oga, give us your BVN before we pay you. But they cannot turn you back. In some cases, they'll say, let me call the owner of the account. They will call me. I'll say, pay him. That person cannot tell you to go away. Why? You are carrying an insignia of authority. The same way Christ has given us not just his word, but his name. Kai, I am in the name of the Lord. I am in the name. He says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous dive into it and they are saved. I am in the name of the Lord. That is the symbol of my authority. And again, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is a symbol of my authority. Why does the devil bow to me? I am God's righteousness. I am God's replica on the earth. I am the Jesus walking on the street. This thing must move from a quotation to a conviction. This is how you carve your path into the rest of God. The authority of God. Say, I have authority. Say, I have authority. In Luke 4:36, Jesus Christ dealt with unclean spirits by authority. Not by negotiation. By authority. He commanded unclean spirits with authority. Some people are binding devil in their mind. You see, God will help some of you to debunk some teachings that have weakened your heart. Don't rush to cast out devil. Some people, when they are casting out devil, the thing enter them. Question, does it make sense? No sense now. That you had the authority to cast something out. It came out and entered you that cast it out. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Hello? How many of you have killed rats before? Killed rats, let me see. Why does he don't have rats in your house? Even Asurok has rats. Asurok has rats. Your voice could not stay inside. Okay. So, imagine
you are chasing out rat from your house. And the rat now faces you. And it's coming for you. So Buhari saying, oh boy, I remove my slippers and run away. Because you wonder what audacity a rat has to face you. But do you know that you have authority? No, some ladies are not afraid of rats. But because other ladies are afraid of rats, ladies do not scream. When you see leaders, lizards passing where ladies are, some, they are paco, they don't have a problem. But when everybody saying, yeah, this is it, yeah! I didn't say it's you, I'm just saying. What I'm saying is this. The authority in you cannot be questioned and submerged by the devil. What the devil has is power, but he has no legal right again over your life. See, you don't say, "Ah, devil, get power." Does he have it around you? You determine the extent of his authority in and around your life. When you find something that does not agree with what God told you in the authority package, what do you do? Come on, talk to me. What do you do? How do you do it? By speaking. Many of us are quiet and we are romancing demons. Managing them. Thank you. Thank you. I still have time. Praise God. That's a measure of authority. You know why she can bring this thing? Because I said, bring time when I'm preaching. I'm the one that gave her the authority. She's using over me now. He won't put the time that's remaining for me as the pastor. But you know why? I told her. And I, by telling her what I do, I conferred what? How is a soldier promoted? It's not by words. That thing they hang there is just to know that this person has a higher rank. But what promotes you is what? It's the word now. Your CEO will stand in front of you and tell you that I've got that thing to say. From now on, you are now promoted to the rank of, I've met someone before in the barracks where the CEO and your wife will stand. When you give CEO salutes, you now give your wife. Hope you gave your wife salute. When you stand like this, they say, this one, la, yeah, in pacha. Then you turn against your wife and give her in pacha. Then in your mind, you'll be saying, you, and they give salute, you chop and bar. They do that to humble soldiers. That your wife has a higher rank than you. So you have to salute your CEO. But what gave you that rank? Is what the man said though. When do you give a woman authority to be your wife? When you said it. With this ring, I wed thee this day. I wed thee. Speaking King James Kali. I wed thee. You are now bone of my bones. How did Adam define Eve? Words. He conferred the authority for Eve to be the mother of all creation. When he said, this is now the bone, and she shall be called woman. Authority. Authority is conferred by words. Authority is received with the Spirit. Once it dawns on you that what was said to you actually belongs to you, you begin to operate in it. Last day, as I win the runoff. The second pillar I'll talk about today is the will of God. There is not coming into the rest of God unless you have aligned with the will of God. The will of God over your life must always take preeminence over any other thing. What is the will of God concerning your life? First John 2:17. He says, he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. That means God is interested in a person who is in the line of his will. your actions, your decisions, are they taken in line with the will of God? So it means that my primary preoccupation as a believer is to seek and to know what is the will of God concerning me. That should be your preoccupation. What is the will of God concerning me? Jesus knew the will of the Father concerning him. Even at the age of 12, when they saw that they didn't find him, what was he doing? Sitting with Pharisees and scribes. And when they came to get him, he said, "Why have you made us worry about you so much?" He said, "Why are you worrying about me? Don't you know that I must what?" In John 4, Christ with the woman of Samaria. Christ was so hungry that disciples ran to go and get him food from Mr. Biggs. They bought chicken and bought fried rice and came. And when they came back, they saw him gisting and laughing with the woman. Has anybody brought him food? What will make disciples say that, analyze this thing, is that the way he was hungry was such that his countenance changed. Like some of you. Praise God. The people here, you don't play with their food. You play with food, they disfriend you. Amen? Their face will just change. As in you, now they are laughing at a thorn. It's the face of hunger. So Jesus Christ was so hungry that his countenance changed. Jesus Christ. That when they brought food and saw him laughing, they had to be surprised. I mean, if he didn't change, why were they surprised? Has any man brought him meat? I said, "Master, who brought food for you? You see your food here." He said, "My meat, my food is to do the will of the Father who has sent me." Oh, but that is Jesus now. No, everyone on the face of the earth, there is something that God has committed into your hands, particularly if you're a believer. See, he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Come on, say forever. Say forever. Say forever. We are sure to receive also when we ask according to his will. Praise God. 1 John 5:14. He said, "We have this confidence that when we ask him of something according to his will, we believe that he hears us. And since we know he hears us, we believe that we have received our petition." So, what you didn't receive, God didn't hear. If God heard it, you received it. Amen, somebody. When we pray according to his will, he hears us. Come on, say, "He hears me." Alright? It is the will of God for us to bear witness of him. What did he commit to disciples? To bear witness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. When they began to ask him, he said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" He said, "The hour and the time is in the hands of God, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What will you do with this power? You shall be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." Bob says that God went with them, bearing witness of his word with miracles, signs, and wonders. When we are in the will of God, we can be sure to experience his power. As a matter of fact, our authority is hinged on our alignment with the will of God. Did you hear what I'm saying here? When you are outside the will of God, you cannot wield his authority, because you are on your own. You can only have your authority delivered to you when you are in the center of God's will for your life. It's important to know that though. His will and his authority are interwoven. Who has watched foreign movies? I like to watch crime movies a lot. Crime investigative movies. And there's something about the authority of that particular law enforcement agent. That authority has to be subject to the will of his commander. Hello? Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? So if your commander didn't say you should go to a place, and you go there and you are stranded, are you in his will? Eh? Can you act on his authority? You'll be acting out of line or out of order. And we are seeing 24. My best season film of all time. I'm still watching it again. I started watching it again. Okay. Now, there's a guy called Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer, for all thoughts and intents and purposes, is a man of war. Is the war. Is the Indaboski. That means if anything is going bad and you bring Jack Bauer into the system, it will align. But you know, there are times that they arrested Jack Bauer. Why? He was acting out of order. He solved a problem, yet ended up in prison. Because he was not acting on what? Instruction. The will is more important than the authority. Did you hear what I'm saying? Don't be so confused about authority that you forget the will of God. It is his intention. Am I walking in line with his intention? The extent to which we can reach with the authority of Christ is the extent to which we align to his will. What is the will of God concerning your life? Are you careful enough to seek it and to know it? Are you careful enough to walk in it? So you don't just keep shouting, I have authority. On whose authority? They ask Jesus Christ. On whose authority are you doing this? On whose authority are you teaching the synagogue? But on whose authority was Christ operating on? The authority given to him by God. That is why they could not challenge him and win. Why? He was in the will of the Father. What he was doing in the temple was the will of God. So when they challenged his authority, they could not win him. Why? He was in the center of the will of God. And some people have taught in motivational preaching, which I don't like because it's a deceiving technique. You are very high in church. When you cross the church wall, no motivation, because it has no substance. Maybe the will of God is for you to go and reign in the political industry. Eh? The will of God is to reign in the business world. That's your purpose in life. Your purpose is to be a medical apostle for Jesus. Your purpose is to be a soldier for Christ, gallant officer for the Lord. Everybody has different purpose. Some is to be a teacher. Some is to be a doctor. Hello. Don't confuse career for divine purpose. Career is a noble thing. If you have a career path you have chosen, it is noble. Pursue it. But that is not the purpose of God for you. It may help you in fulfilling the purpose of God. It is not itself the purpose of God. Hello? Business can be a career. It is not the purpose of God concerning your life. All these systems are created by men for men's sustenance on the face of the earth. God does not need the system of man to sustain his will. He only uses it sometimes. That means God can provide for a person who has no job the same way he will for a person who has a job. So God makes a mess of the world system. His agenda is not tied to how man thinks. So when you say, my purpose is to go and do a career, you have missed God altogether. Completely. You are out of the circle. God will, however, want you, while in pursuit of your career, to use that platform to fulfill
his ultimate purpose for your life. That means if I am a medical doctor or if I am an engineer, that is my career path I have chosen. But I am an engineer who is there representing Christ. I become God's extension to other engineers in my field. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I have a spiritual covering who happens to be an army officer, name withheld. One of his always tells us, when he was sent to the Northeast, he said, I came back with all my soldiers, not one died. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, the soldiers that were under his own command, not one died. Not because all of them were born again. No. There were Indian hemp smokers among them. There were jazz men among them, those that believe in jazz. But he said, I prayed them into the covering I had from God, such that whatever could not happen to me could not happen to them. I became their defense system. Did you understand what I'm saying here? That nothing could happen to them as long as they were under my command. That is how the believer is in the marketplace. That when there is a crisis in your company and they are going to sack people, you can raise up an altar of prayer and say, as long as I am here, nobody will be retrenched. We are not called to survival. We are called to dominion. Not say, his testimony are in great zone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They sack people in my office. They sack them. Oh. But thank God, God saved me. Only me and some people were not sacked. That is a testimony. And we praise God for it. But there's a testimony. They were about to sack all of us. I went and made a decree and they reversed it. They were about sacking us. I came up with an idea that can move the company forward. Instead, they won't sack anybody again. They are both testimonies. But one is survival. The other one is dominion. The will of God is for you to dominate, not just to merely survive. Testimony time. Thank God. When I entered the car, I did not sit by the window. Our car had accident. It was the man by the window that died. Testimony. Yes, we give God thanks. But what if I enter the car? The car was to have accident. I made a decree. Everybody is safe. We are not sent to go and try to survive. We are sent to dominate systems and have people experience the power of God through our dominance. That's what it means to be an apostle in the marketplace. How do you explain an army officer, a salaried person, who gives to God in tens of millions? I didn't say who collects, who gives in tens of millions. Is he giving his salary? Huh? Is he giving his salary? Come on, talk to me. He's not. But how is he doing that? Because he has found that the will of God does not stop at my career. My career is only an aspect that allows me to walk in the will of God for my life. That means I will never put my career above the will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I will never put my engagement above. Why? There is no true rest that the world can give you. See, the world system, as beautiful as some may look, as enviable as some may be, you cannot come into the rest of God by walking with them. I said it here once before. How many of us feel like we are earning what we are working for? As in, your salary is commensurate to your input in the office. Who can tell me that? You can't tell me that. Why? The system is such that when I have an establishment, I look at what I make in a month and what you can add, and I bring you into it. I pay you a fraction of what I make so that I can... Are you following what I'm saying here? No matter how hard you are working for me, what you earn is only a fraction of your overall input. The system is not made, it's not created to bring you into rest financially. The system is not built to bring you into financial rest. That's what I'm saying. Until you identify what is the will of God concerning my life.
be like the old adage, monkey they walk, baboon they chop. When you look at it, they are of the same family, both the monkey and the baboon. So your employer and you, the employed, are not really different. You are both in the same system. Only that you are the one working for the baboon to eat. The two of you are not in the rest of God until you align with the will of God. That's what brings true rest. That is why, even when medical doctors, apologies please, to doctors in the house, praise God, when they prescribe a drug to you, some of the drugs they prescribe to you cannot heal the sickness. True of us. It only helps you to do what? Manage it. The day I heard that there's no drug for catarrh, you know catarrh, and he doesn't have drug, it will go where he wants to go. But when he goes to office, doctor, I get catarrh, he will say, okay, go and buy this one. Part of what makes catarrh reduce is your psychology. Because as you took that drug, you believe that, because it's a virus, it has its own time that it will stay in your body and then it will leave. What I'm trying to say, there is no system man has built to bring you into rest. If you don't understand God's word concerning your health, you can't truly have rest in your health. They will even tell you, doctors treat. It is what? It is God that heals. If you don't believe in the God that heals, you will be at the mercy of doctors. And you will spend all your money yet not be healed. A woman with the issue of blood said she has spent all that she had with the physicians. Yet she was still going around 12 years. That means she has seen consultants. She has seen doctors. They had given her drugs. Nothing changed. Understand that what heals you is not just the drugs you are taking. It is what? The concern of God concerning your health. Have I by this said don't go and take drugs? I didn't say that. If your faith locks on there, go. But understand that the healing power is first of God. That is where the rest is. That healing power is just like you are doing business and you think that that's where you make money. Understand, it is the help of God that makes business prosper. Even those who do jazz believe more than you. They believe in what they dug in the ground than what they are selling. True of us. Come on, talk to me. We are the ones who have all the business principles, who attend seminar. It's good. Know those things because you should know them. But beyond that, the rest of God does not come by the schemes and systems of men. That's my emphasis. Men can develop systems to help achieve things, but they can't bring you into the rest of God. It is the will of God that brings you. What is His will? Revealed in His word, revealed by His Spirit. Revealed in His word, revealed by His Spirit. Revealed in His word, revealed by His Spirit. How do I know the will of God concerning me? The Holy Ghost, I can't hear His voice. Read your Bible. His will is primarily released and revealed through His word and by His what? His Spirit. You can only recognize the voice of His Spirit when you are familiar with the pages of Scripture. Why? The two bear witness of themselves. The Holy Ghost will always bear witness of the Word of God. So when you are familiar with Scriptures, it will not be difficult to identify the voice of the Spirit, which is the voice that leads and guides you into the will of God. How do I know God's will for my life? I read my Bible, I pray, and remain sensitive to the Holy Ghost. What I'm telling this morning doesn't sound like a Sunday sermon, wa? It's not exciting you. It's hardcore. No believer will win on this earth without alignment. When you drive a car whose wheel is out of alignment, do you enjoy driving it? Huh? Who enjoys it? When you leave your steering for some seconds, what happens? Eh? The car was out going, turning on its own. Why? Because the wheel
is not in perfect alignment. Somebody said, if you're driving a car and the car has a bad tire, what do? You park the car and fix the tire. You don't keep driving the car because you are already in motion. When something is not in alignment with God's will, stop, align before moving. It doesn't matter how far you have gotten. If you have known that I am not in alignment with the will of God, it is better to be late than to be destroyed. But I have gone so far in this thing. Does it align with the will of God? If you will not keep driving your car because you are in a hurry, when your tire is bad, you can't continue running your life outside of the context of God's will. And you see, by default, it seems to me that every man knows what God wants for them to do. Right? There are many things that you know not to do, but you don't even need me to tell you. You know. Huh? But the will to submit to the will of God is a problem. And that's where the Holy Ghost, you say, Lord, I submit my will to your will. I submerge my will in yours. I submerge my will to yours. Not my will, but thy will be done. Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration. What did he say? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It got to a point, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I want to come into your rest. The first thing God says is, come unto me. His will. Financial rest, come unto me. He didn't say, come to the rest, come unto me. Why? It is me that will do what? Give you the rest. So, it is not to run after things, it's to come unto what? I am out of line, who do I come to? I am out of order, who do I come to? Why? It is he that will bring me into order. It is he that will bring me into the line. I'm not preaching what to make you shout whoa today, but I hope it finds a place in your spirit. We cannot experience the rest of God until we align with his will. What is your prayer this morning? Help me to align. Lord, help me to align. Lord, help me to align. I don't know where you have missed your alignment, but Lord, help me to align to your will. The authority of God is governed by his will. The authority of Jesus that has given to you is governed by his will. Your sphere of influence is governed by your location in the will of God. Lord, what will you have me do?